Giants.com. Know a lot of folks are really interested in that. We're already through to the second round. As you may have noticed on the website, there are a bunch of winners up from the round that has just completed. In addition to that, we've got, you know, NCAA basketball going on. And last year, you folks may remember, when I hosted the show during the tournament, I asked you, which of the Giants would you like to see on a Giants basketball team? I thought that was a rather intriguing question, and it's one I would ask you again right now as well. Are there some Giants that you'd like to play a pickup game with? If you were coaching, you'd like them to take the floor and, you know, compete in the Final Four? Guys like Antrell Roll have a basketball background. He certainly would be one of the guys you'd want to start with at the backcourt. In the meantime, our number, once again, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We will be monitoring that during the course of the program. Giants, well, they've been busy. You know, I've been in periodically during the course of the offseason. Free agency has been a hot topic. The draft seems to be a very hot topic as I look at my Twitter page. It is truly amazing how many people are, A, either on the tight end bandwagon, B, on the wide receiver bandwagon, or C, like myself, still want to fortify the trenches. I'm a big guy for the offensive line, as you've no doubt heard during many of the appearances we've done over the course of the offseason. I still think the Giants must fortify that offensive line before they do anything else. But there's certainly some holes and some thin spots on this roster that we could talk about. Giants pick 12th, and then, of course, they've got that additional compensatory pick that will be coming to them. So they will have 7 picks in this draft, even though their 7th rounder was traded to Carolina for John Beeson during last season. All right, let's see if we want to head over to some phone calls. And we will start with Mike in Virginia. Hello, Mike. You're first up on Giants.com's Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good to talk to you. What's going on?
Oh, I was. You were just talking about how everyone has a preference for position in the draft, and I can't decide myself. There's I think the fat kid in the candy store, you know. Or there's, well, we got a lot of options. I think it's a good problem to have, but you know, it's a good problem, but it is a problem.
Well, you know, Jerry Reese often says that when you're drafting high, that's usually a bad sign because it means you didn't do so well the week before. And indeed, he's right. I mean, the Giants aren't thrilled to be drafting 12th in the first round. There's no doubt about that. They've had a lot of things going down here during the offseason that have filled probably two-thirds of their holes. But they're still thin in some spots. And you're right. On both sides of the ball, they could use a little bit of help. Defensively, the only thing that I'd like to see them do is to add depth along the defensive line, because I'm very happy with everything else on that side.
Absolutely. Well, I would say the Ebron seemed like the logical choice, because that's what we needed, the tight end. But you got a guy like Mike Evans, who apparently is like that. He's like 6'5", and he's very quick, and he has good hands, and he runs routes, and he's like apparently a very accomplished run blocker.
Mike Evans is an absolute stud, and there's no question this guy could do it all. He's big, he's tall, he's athletic, he's got good hands. He does block for the run, which is something Tom Coughlin really wants his receivers to do. He'd be a great pickup for this team. I don't disagree with you. And certainly if they got him at 12, you can't cry, because he'll probably do a lot of exciting things here if he's a Giant. At the same time, I ask you this, and it all goes back to my old school philosophy. You have to understand now, when I started cutting my teeth in this business in 1983, George Young and Bill Parcells were in charge of this team. Tom Boyshue was also here. And the Giants believed then, as they did throughout the George Young era, that you have to build in the trenches, specifically the offensive line. And I just don't think that this offensive line is finished. I think there are still some bricks to be laid before you could call it a day and give the ball to Eli Manning and say, hey, you know what? We have a lot of confidence that we're going to be able to keep guys off of you. To me, until that happens, I can't start looking at the other positions. But I do understand your thoughts about Evans, because he's a sensational player. And if the Giants believe that their O-line is complete, which, again, I don't think it is, but if they believe that, you can't blame them for taking a guy like Evans, because he's going to be dynamic.
Right. I agree with you when you say, I believe you were talking about you didn't like Ebron because he couldn't block, or he's not a proven blocker.
He's not a proven blocker, and he had some drops. He's at pro day. But my problem with him is, if you're going to pick a guy at 12, he better be all around terrific. I don't want to see any gaping holes in his game. And to me, Ebron has gaping holes there.
If he can't run block, every Giants fan is going to be so frustrated on Sunday if we can't run the football with our starting tight end.
Mike, that's exactly my point. That's why I don't want him at 12.
If we do get that guy, we need like a veteran behind him, like that guy Daniel Owens from the Texans. Like, he was injured.
I do think the Giants will sign a veteran tight end before training camp opens. Thanks so much for the call. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants chat. Let's go to Chris from New York. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Just two quick questions, and I'll let you do the calls. I just had a quick question about Stevie Brown and Will Hill. I have everyone telling me, you know, Will Hill is going to be the starter over Stevie Brown. I was just wondering, is that the general consensus? Because, you know, you got Stevie Brown who had 8 picks 2 seasons ago, and you're going to start Will Hill in front of him? Well, you know, I'm not down on Will Hill.
Okay. And did you want to go to your second question, or do you want me to answer that one first?
You could answer that one first.
Well, it seems to me that if you're Perifuel and you know you've got 3 starting caliber safeties, you're going to try to get them all on the field as much as possible. And we already know that he's got experience with the 3 safety package. Now, how much do the Giants use that? I think that depends on matchups. It depends upon how well they're stopping the run with the front 7. And we saw that once John Beeson got here, the Giants improved significantly in that area of their game. So I think it's going to be kind of a wait and see right now. But I will tell you this. I think all 3 safeties are going to get their share of snaps. Roll's going to be on the field all the time. There's no reason to ever take him off of the field. But I do think that Brown and Hill are going to get enough that you're going to be satisfied with both players. Okay?
My second question is, are we really going to start? I mean, are the Giants going to be satisfied with J.D. Walton? Because I just have this gut feeling that J.D. Walton is not going to be the same player he was.
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, he's missed a whole season because of an ankle surgery, and I don't know what J.D. Walton's going to be. I will tell you this, though. The contract they gave him seems to indicate they want him to compete for that starting job. So it's going to be very interesting, Chris. I just don't know myself what to think about him. I mean, the Giants put enough of money up there on the table to tell you that they think he could be a starter this season. You know, I always like to see competition because I think competition makes things better. But at this moment, I cannot tell you for sure he's going to be the man I know the Giants want him to be. Charles from North Carolina, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, I think that J.D. Walton, man, I think they gave him that kind of money. They know something. So he's definitely not going to be hobbling in there.
No, I'm sure he won't compete. Be hobbling. I think the question for me, and I think the doctors would probably tell you the same thing if they could get on the phone right now. Do you know durability-wise that if he practices day after day after day and then plays on Sunday, that he's going to hold up without any issues at all? I don't know that any of us can tell you that.
Well, I'm going to make 2 points when I get off.
Sure.
The first point is that, you know, the thing about the draft was we got 8 picks, something like that. We're probably going to get a center. Not first round. We're probably going to get a left tackle, probably not first round. You know, right now, I think when you have a talent like Aaron Donald, that guy can play pretty much 2 positions on that D-line. You're getting 2 for 1. He can play D-end. He's so fast. So athletic. He's only 280. I think he's like 280 something, but he can also kick him in the inside. He's stout against the run. I had to really, like a couple of calls before, I really didn't know where we're going with this pick. I've seen Mike Evans. I've seen Ebron. I've seen Taylor Lewin. I've seen a lot of different players. And this is the first year as a Giants fan that I've had to actually go study film and look at film and look at players. Oh, man, I'm loving it. But I got to say, Aaron Donalds of the world don't come around every year. And this guy is an absolute, at his size, I was really looking for something to say, nope, I don't want him. I started with his size, but when you see this guy on film going against these 330-pound people, man, and getting past them, and they can't check, I mean, it's incredible.
Well,
I mean,
here's the thing that you have to understand from the Giants' perspective. They're going to have a terrific player at their disposal at number 12. I don't think anyone's going to dispute that. This is a very deep draft, and at 12, there's going to be a guy who's capable of coming in and practically starting right away. I think we all pretty much agree on that. The question becomes, where do you value the need compared to the upside of the player? Because I agree with you. I think Donald is an outstanding talent, and if the Giants pick him, they do need some help along the defensive line. I wouldn't be upset by that. But here's the problem. You also know that the offensive line needs help. You know that you need a tight end. You know you could probably use another wide receiver. And it's a kind of a balancing act. Where do you project how good the player's going to be compared to how much do you need a guy to step in and start and fill a hole right away?
Well, here's my thing, and I'll get off after this. Here's my major thing. The first three rounds of this draft, again, I've been studying, and it's the first year I've really, like, had a chance to really study.
Sure.
All, like, man, there's going to be potentially starting tight ends in the second round. Now, the thing I didn't like about Ebron, because I know John is really high on Ebron. The thing I didn't like about Ebron was that just like the other two tight ends beside, I think it's Jenkins is one and the other guy, Amaro or something like that, all of these guys don't really block. They didn't really block. They were in a slot or they were in a wide receiver position in college. None of the three are really big blockers.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, the only thing about Ebron that I've seen was that he had a little bit faster 40 time, but I'd rather have Jenkins because he has more of a tight end body. I think he's, what, 260-something? 270, something like that, and he still runs about a 4.7.
If you want a blocker, my guy is Arthur Lynch out of Georgia, who you should be able to get in the fourth round. Charles, I want you to listen in on your computer because I'm going to let you go, but I do want to make a point about this, and I hope you continue to listen to the show. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you.
The phone call. Here's the point, folks, about a tight end. Yes, the Giants badly need a starting tight end. My take on this is I'd be very happy with a blocking first tight end because this offensive line's being reconstructed and it needs some help from the tight end position. They also need to reestablish a power running game, which your tight end is usually a big part of. That is, of course, if he's a good, solid in-line blocker. Okay? So, if you go after a tight end that is more of a receiving tight end, like an Ebron, well, you know what? You may have a dynamic receiving type. That's great. Okay, fine. But what do you do about those other two facets? You're going to project and hope that he grows into it and develops into it so that you've got that going down? Or do you say, hey, you know what? There are a lot of teams in this league who want the sexy receiving catch-first tight end who puts up big numbers and grabs those ESPN SportsCenter highlights. Okay, wonderful. Let those people get plucked off the board because, hey, we're going to sit here and say we want that blocking first tight end, which a lot of people shy away from. Consequently, they become a better value lower in the draft. Look, you're Jake Ballard of the world. These are the guys that the Giants have proven that they can win with. Okay? Make your 35 to 40 catches. Make some key receptions on third down. Maybe catch a few touchdown passes here or there, but primarily be tough, be physical, be an inline blocker, help out in pass protection, help out with the running game. Those are the kinds of guys like Arthur Lynch, who you can get in the fourth round. You do not need to put a number 12 overall pick priority on a tight end thinking, oh, he's going to catch 70 passes for 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. You don't need that here, especially considering that you've got to keep Eli healthy and you've got to establish a power running game. Okay? Folks like John who want to grab Ebron, I understand. They are enamored with his receiving skills. That's wonderful. I'm not saying that Ebron wouldn't be a better pick for perhaps some other team that's got a fortified offensive line, that's got a very strong, consistent power running game, and that desperately needs some help in the passing game. The Giants have holes in those other areas that need to be dealt with first. All right, let's go back to the phones. Hello, Tim, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Richard Pio with the Giants draft. Mike Evans from Texas A&M.
Another tremendous talent. We talked about him, I guess, in the early moments of the show. Tim, I'm going to let you go right away, but I will tell you this. Mike Evans is going to be a star in this league. I think everybody is in agreement. He is a dynamite prospect. And, again, he's one of those where he's already pro-ready. You see, that's one of the things about Ebron. Not only does he lack one of those facets that you'd want in a guy you're going to pick that high, it happens to be a facet the Giants need. Evans has everything you could want in a receiver, and he's immediately pro-ready. If the Giants pick him, you can't cry. Again, you know, I think they need to go to another position. Kyle from South Carolina, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey.
What's going on?
Nothing. I just got a question and a statement to make.
Sure, please.
All right. I feel like everybody didn't really give my man Prince Amukamara all the respect for what he did last season. I feel like he was kind of a shutdown corner. How do you feel about that?
Prince Amukamara is a frontline corner in this league. I don't think there is any question about it. But here's the thing. When you're talking about a shutdown corner, you're talking about the elite guys, the top three, four, five guys in this league who you can pretty much erase half of the field for. Now, I don't think, and you may disagree, I think Prince Amukamara is a frontline starting corner in this league, but I don't think he's an elite corner right now who could just wipe out the other team's best receiver entirely on Sunday. I don't think he's quite there yet. I think he's a notch below. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. I understand that because he also plays in the run great, excellent. He also, like, I feel like what he was leading us in tackles or something like that for the corner.
He's a really good player. And again, you know when you talk about shutdown corners, you're talking about the Deion Sanders of the world and the Revises of the world and guys who literally wipe out the other team's best player every Sunday, no questions asked, it's done. Lockdown, it's over. I think Prince Amukamara is just a notch below that. I think he's really, really good. He does play the run well. He's developed into a terrific frontline player. But I don't think I could send him to the Pro Bowl. You know, he's just not there. Now, here's the good news. Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie is also a solid frontline player. He's not elite, but, you know, he's just a notch below. So the Giants have two number one corners now. Neither one is necessarily an automatic wipe them out, shut them out kind of guy, but both guys are close to that, and that's a good thing to have.
And I think, last year, I think our defense ranked like number eight or something like that, which is really not that bad, and we really had no corners. So do you feel like these free agents that we got will actually turn out to be something good? Because I've seen when the Eagles got Nani Asamoah and Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie and they had Asante Samuels, they didn't do that well, you know what I'm saying? So I was thinking, like, how do you feel about that? You feel like they'll flourish, or?
Well, you know, here's the thing with the Giants, okay? They've always based their defensive game plan on pressure on the quarterback. They've never been the kind of team that really wants to play a lot of zone. They've never been the kind of team that does, more stuff in the back seven. They've always been a team that relied when they were winning, okay? When they were winning now, they relied on the pressure up front. It was like, okay, let the front four do their business, cause some trouble, and then the guys in the back seven will take care of the rest. It's always been about pressure on the quarterback for the Giants, and that goes back to Spags' days, okay? So here's the thing. If your corners are good enough, they don't have to be elite. They just have to be good enough, provided your front four does its job. And I guess, to be honest with you, Kyle, right now as I let you go, that's the biggest question on the Giants' defense, is where does this pass rush stand? JPP, coming off of injuries and a very subpar season, promising that he's going to be JPP once again this year. You have to want to believe him, but can you? I don't know the answer to that. I don't think Tom Coughlin does right now. You want DeMontre Moore to show off those incredible skills that he has to become a monster pass rusher in this league, because he's got them. But this is a player who's got to mature into the role. And then you got Mathias Kiwanuka, who I think by any stretch of the imagination had a subpar season last year. Look, the final month of the year he picked it up, but where were those sacks in the first three-fourths of the year? The Giants need to make sure they can get to the quarterback. Shakes, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Yeah, man. But you hit it on the nose with the cornerback. I feel the same way. And I was just thinking about what you were saying about the whole defense overall. And I'm looking at it like the pass rush. That's why, even though I'm Team Evans, yes, Team Evans, for the guy that says I flip-flop on Twitter, I said I'm Team Evans. But a guy like Aaron Donald seems real intriguing to me, because you can pass rush from the inside with him. Oh, man. And then you got Hankins that can hold down the run. And Donald is very stout in the run, too. He's not nobody that you can poop on his run something just because he's 285.
Well, you know what, Shakes? Here's the one thing about Donald, and that is it. At 6'1", 285, he's not a plugger, okay? Now, he's a tremendous athlete, okay? There's no question about that. He is a top first-round pick in terms of his athleticism, in terms of the kind of impact plays he can make. If there's any question about Donald, and some of the critics have come out and said, yes, look at his size, he's not going to be a consistent run stopper in the NFL. That's what the critics will say, and I understand that. And quite honestly, I'm not 100% sure that he's going to be able to do it either. But here's what I do know is that he gets to the NFL. My guess is, and I haven't met with him and interviewed him, like the trainers and some of the other, you know, the scouts and stuff have. I'd like to know what they believe he can play at in this league. Is he going to play at 295? Because he's 285 coming out of school. Can they get him up to 295? Can they get him up to 300 and still maintain his speed and quickness? If they think they can do that, then that's less of a question mark for me. But I do understand the skeptic who says, well, is Aaron Donald going to be able to give you 40 to 45 snaps or whatever the case may be, depending upon how many snaps your defensive line needs, and be stout enough against the run, game in and game out? Or is he going to wear down? I think that's a legitimate question, Shakes, don't you?
It's a question. It is a question. I got two questions for you, and then I can get off.
Yeah, please.
Back to Donald, you know, if his penetration, you know, that's the main thing in his game.
No doubt.
Don't you think that can stop the run, too?
Well, and my second question, that is quickness off the snap and shedding blocks and slanting through the holes, you'd like to believe that would be enough to get it done. But remember, in this league right now, there was a trend towards trying to grab the 330-pound plugger at defensive tackle who just holds the fort. And the Giants have always preferred that, being that they're a 4-3 defense.
Yeah, and my last question for you is, because I really like the kid, Brian Stork from Florida State, the center. So I'm saying, like, if we don't go offensive line, you know, because I know that's what you want. You want offensive line in the
first
round. But if we don't do that, are you comfortable with Brian Stork if we drafted him in the third or fourth round?
I'd say third day. You know, you're looking at maybe fourth round for him. Now, you know, he's banged up.
Yeah.
He's banged up. You're going to have to get an A-OK from the trainers. He's had knee and shoulder troubles. You know, you're going to have to know that he's not going to come into camp missing practice.
Paulie, I'm putting you on the spot. If we draft him, are you happy or are you sad?
Unless I know what the medical report is, I can't tell you that.
Say he's cleared.
If he's cleared, I probably wouldn't mind having him.
All right.
Hey, thanks, Shakes.
Taking my call, man.
Appreciate it. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Let's get to a couple of the Twitter questions you guys have put out. Joshua Cole wants to know, at J. Cole Blue, are you going to be okay with D.T. Donald not starting? No, we need a starter at 12. Ali R. Jackson says, you can't make someone athletic, but you can teach an athlete to block. Just saying, he's a big Ebron guy. He also says Ebron will make life easier for the receiving core. Who's to say that the O-lineman that is so badly wanted won't be flops? Also saying you can't pass Ebron. You can get O-line and D-line help later on. Ted Crum says you can't get someone like Donald in later rounds. Pro Bowl potential. Okay, let's see. J-Rock says Prince was not a shutdown corner. Very good cornerback, but no shutdown. Mike Farmer says, have you gotten a chance to look up tight end Gator Hoskins? Huskins out of Marshall yet? No, Mike, to be honest with you, I have not. I will do that today. I've got some time with the rainy weather. Don't think I'm going to be doing a Nike 5. And so I may have more time to do some cut-ups. Michael, last MTD, says, come on, Paulie, you're making Ebron sound like he blocks like Brandon Myers, for God's sakes. Well, he does have deficiencies in that part of his game. I do believe that he's coming into the NFL trying to make headlines, splashes, and grab highlight film reels or create highlight film reels. And so I do have a question about his commitment to becoming a really good, sound professional blocker. Perhaps if the Giants were to sit down and talk with him, and I'm guessing that they did at some point during the combine process, maybe they're convinced that he can and will do it. Look, here's the one thing, folks, that I want to say about Ebron. Yeah, I'm against drafting him. I don't think it would be a very good move, but that's because I'm coming from the old school philosophy of building the offensive line and the running game first. Okay? Let me make something very clear to you. If the Giants draft him, then that means, A, offensive coordinator McAdoo needs a dynamic pass-catching tight end in his offense, and Ebron is clearly the best fit for that in this draft. So that's one thing that it would tell you. The second thing that it would tell you is that the Giants believe their offensive line is good enough to hold the fort and block for Eli and to get that power running game going. Okay? That would be a sure sign that those three issues are important to them and that they're solved. All right? That's the only reason you draft Ebron, is if you checked off all three of those boxes and say, this has to be, this is already is, and this already is. If those three boxes are checked, then go ahead. Be my guest. You know? Be my guest. Draft Ebron, because then the issues that I have raised are no longer relevant. Again, I come from the old school. I studied Lombardi. I believe in what George Young and Bill Parcells taught me back in the early 80s. You know, if you consider that a burden, so be it. But that's the way I operate, that's the way I think, and that's the philosophy that I subscribe to. A.J. Marshall says, do you think they will pick Aaron Donald in the first round to replace Linville Joseph at defensive tackle? Again, that's not the way I would go, but he's a heck of a pro prospect, and I could understand if they looked at a talent like him and said, look, this defensive line could use a little help. We're going to have to move Cullen Jenkins outside some at defensive end because we need some depth there. Maybe Donald could take some of those defensive tackle snaps as a rookie. I guess I could understand it because he's that great of a talent. I personally don't think I would draft him, though. King of New York says, I say go wide receiver, first like Mike Evans. If then, of course, there's a tight end, then everything else we need. J-Rock says Owen Daniels, obviously a veteran free agent. We have no fun leagues. Is the Giants ever going to secure that number one receiver position? Well, you know, they'd like to believe that either Cruz becomes better than a 1A or that Reuben Randle becomes better than a 2. I mean, you want some development there, and certainly you'd like to add a receiver at some point. I don't think there's any question about that, whether it be a veteran free agent, which I'd like to see, and then also perhaps a draft pick. Michael says, oh boy, bring back John, please. Well, clearly he's an Ebron fan. I don't think there's much doubt about that. And he also says, welcome to the show, guys. Let's just talk big blue football. Okay, well, I guess he doesn't want to think about the NCAA tournament, but I think it's kind of fun sometimes to think about what Giants could do other things in other sports. And finally, Brandon Diggs, our last Twitter read of the morning, or at least for now, says he likes Moncrief, Matthews, Davis, Coleman, but Evans is his favorite. He really wants to go there for the Giants' first-round draft pick. Also says stuff like this makes me think Evans will be gone before we pick. Okay, let's go back to the phones. And Len from Maryland, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello, Len.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Good, 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 Paul. It's probably highly unlikely that Evans, Lawan, and Ebron are all going to be available at that 12th pick.
You think so?
But if two of those three are available, Paul, I think the phone in the war room is going to be ringing off the hook. You got St. And I'm not for trading the pick, but I just think if two of those three are available, any two, the phone's going to ring off the hook. You got St. Louis at 13. If I remember correctly, it's the Bears at 14, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh at 15. Forget Dallas at 16. I'm not even answering the phone. And I think Baltimore at 17.
Yep.
Donald might be of interest to the Bears. He could be of interest even to Pittsburgh.
I think Dallas would love to have him, too, to be honest.
Well, I'm not. No. I'm not entertaining that.
Len, the Miami Dolphins are just dying to get themselves a tackle.
You know, the only thing with Miami, it's a little far down. If we're going to trade, I really didn't want to go that far down because what I had in mind is if we do, and I really don't want to trade the pick, but if we do,
the Dolphins are 19.
19, okay. All right. That may be a little far down to get Martin from Notre Dame and pick up an extra pick maybe in the second round by making the trade. But listen, if those three players are there, you know, jump up and down, that's going to be a great choice. And even if two of them are there, if only one of those three is there, Paul, you know what I say? Pick them. If there's two there, maybe we think about if the deal is right, maybe we think about doing it. You know, you started off, the first call of the day had to do with Stevie Brown. Wouldn't it be nice if Stevie came back and, you know, and gave us the same kind of year that he did 2 years ago? Nice problem for the Giants to have. Should we go three safety or should we get Thurman on the field as a slot corner? I tell you, Perry's going to have a lot to work with in that defensive backfield.
He does.
It's really a nice problem to have.
But, Glenn, you know what? If they don't get pressure on the quarterback, and I mean this wholeheartedly, if they have a lack of pressure like they did the first half of last season, it doesn't matter what they've done to the back seven.
Paul, let me ask you a question. Do you think it's getting harder and harder to get pressure on the quarterbacks these days? I mean, three-step drops, rollouts. It seems like it's getting tougher and tougher, particularly on the defensive end side. I mean, these coaches have come up with some really good way. I mean, you know, straight-on blocks, double teams, chips by a fullback.
Well, you know what? And that's why the Seahawks went the other route and decided to concentrate on big, tough, gigantic, strong, physical corners who would then disrupt routes.
Yep.
Because if you can't get to the trigger man, what you do is you wreck his targets. And you don't let his targets get to where they got to go, so he can't feel good about getting the ball out in 3 seconds. And look, I'm going to tell you right now, and this is universal around the league. Everybody around the league knows the Seattle Seahawks do not have a dominant defensive line. They've got a couple of decent pass rushers.
Yep.
They've got a decent defensive line. But come on, do you think that defensive line matches up to either one of the Giants' Super Bowl defensive lines?
Not even close. I agree with that.
What their money doing was we're gonna make that defensive line better because we know we can't get to the quarterback as well as we'd like to. So we're just going to hold up those targets, and we're going to make it harder for him to get rid of the ball quicker. And that's the other way to do it. You know, there's always two ways to skin a cat.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, let me mention one thing about the Giants.com bracket. Have you got a minute for that, Paul?
Yeah, sure. We'll go real quick. Okay. What do you got?
Okay. Yeah, let me just tell you, there were two plays that weren't in the original 32 that stand out to me.
Sure.
I don't know what plays I would take out, Paul, and maybe you remember them. Probably not many people listening who will remember these. But I thought the Summerall field goal in 58 in the snow.
Sure.
If he doesn't make that field goal, we're not talking about Gifford flipping the ball to Connolly in the playoff game the next week. We're not even talking about the greatest game ever played. And Pat Summerall's career probably wouldn't be where it went as an announcer if he had not made that. Oh, I don't know. They say it was 49 yards. Could have been 55 in the snow. Who knows how long that kick was. But
totally
I thought that play.
Totally
I thought that play.
And let me also give you an asterisk here. I was not consulted on the plays. And
okay, that's
all I was told is that when the plays are done and we start going through them, we're going to want you to come down and give some opinions. So when I
took
the spots last week for the second round, I had no
idea
what the fans had voted until they told me right before the taping. I mean, I was literally giving you live reactions, and I can't tell you how much hate I've gotten on Twitter for some of my responses. But quite honestly, the fans made some terrible blunders here. Terrible.
Yeah, well,
blunders.
Yeah.
But anyway,
hey, let me,
you're right. Initially,
can I mention one more?
Go ahead.
Can I mention one more quick
please
play?
Go ahead.
And maybe you've had a chance to do this. If you ask Frank Gifford the most important catch and most acrobatic catch he's ever made, he'll go back to the final game in 1962 against the Steelers. He made a catch over the middle in the closing minutes, one-handed, that, you know, that was the year. They had to win that last game where they weren't going to go to the championship game. Gifford made one of the most acrobatic catches I've ever seen, one-handed catch, and you talk about value or importance of the catch. If you ask Gifford which was the most important and catch he'd ever made and best catch he ever made, he'll say Pittsburgh, last day of the season, 1962.
Well, Ed,
hey, Paul,
great to talk to you again. I don't know if I necessarily get that in the bracket, but I absolutely agree with you about Pat Summerall. And you know what? I think there needs to be some bustling upstairs about that.
Be
good,
okay,
man.
Buddy.
You.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Bye-bye. 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And Carl from North Carolina, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Love it
when you're on.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're a man of my own heart, man. I love powerful, ultimate, offensive lines and defensive lines. Anytime this team has done really well, we have had classic offensive lines and classic front sevens. I don't want to win a game. I don't want to win for a season and not make the Super Bowl or barely miss it or lose it. I want to dominate for a while. The only way you're going to do that is front seven on defense and offensive line. Many teams have won Super Bowls with inferior, skill position players. But when you've got that offensive line that is going to dominate for years, you're going to win for years. It's not going to be for a season, a game here, or one playoff game. It's going to be forever.
You can't say it any better than that, because when you fortify your offensive line with a bunch of young studs, you're set for practically the next decade. And to me, that's what this is about. This is not about just getting the Giants back to the playoffs in 2018.
That's right.
This is about giving Eli Manning a chance over the next three or four prime years that he has as an NFL starter to make a little music here. This is not a one-shot deal. Not for me.
Yeah, even when he's gone, if you get another quarterback in there and he's got a great offensive line, he's going to do better than just, some rookie coming out of college that doesn't know, his head from anything else, He's going to be good. He's going to be decent. If he's got time, any half, third-round skill position player is going to run for some yards, and somebody's going to get open down the field, especially if you've got Cruz back there. Somebody's going to get open. Just give them the time and just make the lanes for the runners. That's it. That's when we've been great and dominant.
I'm with you, Carl. I'm with you. You must have known George Young and Bill Parcells like I did.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. That's when I first started watching. I've been watching over 30 years now, and that was my heyday of football. Back then with Lil T and Bart Oates and those guys, man, front seven and offensive line. That's the way to go.
It was great stuff. And even Tom Coughlin's two Super Bowl championship teams look at the offensive and defensive lines.
Now, that's right.
Are incredibly talented, and the offensive lines, while not the most talented in the league, were blood and guts, blue-collar
guys
who had tremendous teamwork and work ethic, and really, really, to be honest, maximized their talent and then some, and played above maybe what their talent said. And that's one of the reasons why the Giants won, because those guys were so nasty, so tough, so physical, and so together that they played above their talent. And that's what really helped those Giants' offenses.
Yeah, and back in the days in the 80s, we didn't have great skill position players. I mean, we didn't.
You know, and you know what? You know what's funny? You know what people forget? And here I'm going to tell you a quick story, Carl, before I let you go. Mark Bavaro came out of Notre Dame. Okay, he was a fourth round pick. Okay, and when he got here, the Giants said to him, "We're going to want you to catch the ball a little bit more." They knew he was tough. They knew he was physical. They knew he was smart. They knew he was a good blocker. They knew he could play in line. They knew he'd be a terrific teammate. But they said, "You know, we think you got decent hands. We want you to be a little bit more of a receiver. But to do that, you're going to have to lose a little weight." And Bavaro was very concerned when he came in here as a rookie because he was like, uh-oh, if I'm going to lose a little weight, I may not be the kind of physical guy that I want to be. Maybe I'm going to lose some of my blocking, which is what got me to the league in the first place. You see, I'd rather mold a guy like that. And by the way, he turned out to be pretty good, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And they taught him to catch.
I'd rather mold a guy like that than mold a receiving tight end into tight end who can... Oh, my goodness. Now he's got a block. You know what? Chances are he's not going to pick that up as well as the other guy will do the reverse.
Exactly. I can teach you to catch. I can't teach you to block. That's got to be from the heart.
And it's got to be from the heart. It's got to be from the mind. It's got to be from that place down there known as the gut. Carl, I appreciate the call.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you so much. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Quickly back to the Twitter. Ted Crum's talking about Donald, says, really, at 285 and one of the strongest players in the draft. He's a 4-3-D lineman. Watch the tape. Hey, Ted, I'm with you 1,000%, okay? I think Donald is going to be really, really good in this league. I'm not one of his critics. But I do understand when his critics say, hey, he's not 320, he's not 330, he's not a plugger. There may be some questions about his consistency and durability to stop the run on a regular down-in, down-out basis, especially if he's asked to play a lot of snaps. I get the question. I didn't tell you in any way, shape, or form that I don't think he's a hell of a prospect, because I really think he is, and I think he's going to be a terrific NFL player. But I do understand and respect the question, so please understand that as well. Let's go back to the calls, and who is next? It would be Dean from Connecticut. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, good morning, Paul. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you, my friend?
After my UConn's big win yesterday, I'm doing a lot better. Thanks for asking.
Hey, that's great. You know what? I tell you, I've always been a UConn guy, with Jim Calhoun and so forth. In fact, I remember telling people I thought Ray Allen was going to be better than Allen Iverson when the two of them came out in the NBA draft. I was a big Ray Allen guy, real big Ray Allen guy.
Too.
And, of course, with all the daggers he's stuck in the Knicks' kidneys over the years, I began not to like him, especially while he was a Celtic. And I will tell you this. I had picked Michigan State to win the whole thing this year, so I wasn't really thrilled with that either. But hey, all hail UConn. Great job for the AAC. I love the fact that the Big East left those folks in the lurch, and now they got somebody in the Final Four.
Well, let's see. Let's hope we go all the way. But this is about the Giants. So let's go, Dean.
Let's go for it.
All right. I got three quick things I want to touch on, and then I'm going to hang up and let you do your thing, all right?
What do you got?
First of all, everyone's talking about the offensive line. I'll tell you, there's a guy I'm really high on that I think we can get maybe in the third or fourth round.
Who?
And that's Travis Swanson from Arkansas.
You like him.
A great run blocker.
You like him?
I do like him. I'm 6'5", 3'10". He's powerful at the point of attack. I mean, he can run block really well. That's what you need. You want to get back to smash mouth football, we need a smash mouth O line.
Well, you know what? I have heard good things about him. And yes, I do believe he would be there in the third round. If the Giants don't address the offensive line in rounds one or two, this would be a guy you'd want to consider.
Absolutely. And second, I want to touch on Prince Mukamara.
Sure.
A lot of people, I think this kid has amazing potential, and it's still ahead of him. If you look at his last year in college, everyone was complaining about his lack of interceptions. If you look at the tape, Paul, they barely threw it to his way.
Yeah.
They barely threw his way because they knew he was getting intercepted.
No, dude, you're right. Absolutely right.
Knock a guy like that.
He still has some upside, but right now, as we start 2014, I don't think you can consider him a Pro Bowl player. Now, is it still possible he gets there? Maybe. But you know what? Perry Williams, Mark Collins, those guys were outstanding starters, and they didn't make any Pro Bowls. But you know what? I would take one of those guys any day of the week.
Absolutely. But if you think about this, who do you have since he's been with the Giants on the other side? Corey Webster, past his prime. I'm thinking with a young DRC, the quarterback's going to see, which way do I go? Not the DRC. Let's try Prince in the beginning. And I'm telling you, I think Prince is going to have a comeback year, a fantastic year, and our secondary is going to get two to three Pro Bowlers, hopefully, out of it. And my last point real quick, and then I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
But your Jarrell Jernigan thing. Everyone wants Mike Evans. Here's what I look at it. The last two games Jernigan played showed so many flashes. He looked brilliant. If you draft a wide receiver, that means he's behind the draftee in the depth chart, behind Ruben Randle, behind Victor Cruz. Now Mario Manningham's in the fold. Are we going to give this kid a shot or what? Thanks, Paul. I'm going to have to listen.
All right, no problem. Thank you so much, Dean. Well, a couple of things here. First of all, Jernigan's had trouble staying healthy during his short time with the Giants. He's had a lot of trouble getting on the field. And that's one question that you're not going to be able to answer until, you know, they try to get him more reps. I mean, for him to produce like he did the last couple of games of last season, okay, it shows that he's got some flashes. But that doesn't tell me that he could do it over 16 games. I still don't know the answer to that. I will tell you, the bulk of his work prior to that wasn't very good. And again, did not prove to be very durable either. Now, on top of that, where did Jernigan do his work the last couple of games? As a slot receiver when Victor Cruz was hurt. Well, that's basically where Jernigan should be working. Well, as you and I both know, you're going to want Victor Cruz to be healthy and to play 16 games this year. Which means, honestly, there's not a lot of room for Jernigan to be working out of the slot to do much of what he's going to do. Now, what you can say to me is, all right, well, what if it happens when the Giants go four wide? You could have a slot guy at each side. That, you know what? Usually that's not the case of the way teams like to operate. They want to go with the one slot guy who's truly a slot guy. And on the other side of the field, if they go with two wides, they want them to be speedier, bigger guys, maybe even possession guys. So he doesn't necessarily fit that style either. I personally believe, and you also look at Manningham, who, by the way, is an aside, is coming off of ACL surgery last year, and the Giants did sign him to come back and help with the speed factor, but they don't even know what his durability is going to be either. The Giants positively need another wide receiver before they get to opening day. There's no question about that. I'd like to see them draft a guy, and again, there are four rounds, from what I understand, of quality wide receivers in this draft. So there are guys that can be had, okay? It's not like they got to get one in the first round or even the second round. They can get one further on down the road. In addition to that, I'd still like to see them bring in a veteran free agent on the backside. Now, I have offered up Miles Austin as a possibility. I know some people don't want any part of him because of his injuries or because of the fact that he played for the Dallas Cowboys. I happen to think that Austin is a big target. He's proven to be a pretty good hands guy. And I know, you know, he's coming off of injuries, but I think that's why you can get him on the cheap and probably for a one-year minimum. At least I would think so, especially as the market dries up on the back end. And on top of that, here's what you know. You know he's from New Jersey. You know he's played in the NFC East. And you know, don't forget this. He's pretty productive when he was on the field. Now, if you bring him in, he's competing as either the fourth or the fifth wide receiver. So, you know, you're not counting on him to be your one, your two, or your three. So, you know, if he's not 100% every single week, it's okay, because he's only going to be your fourth or fifth wide receiver anyway. So I don't necessarily, you know, put his injury to the forefront and disqualify him as a potential free agent signee. Anyway, that's the way I look at things. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. We got a full bank of calls, so let's go to Frank. Hello, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Good morning, Paul. How
good
are you?
Morning.
Good to see
you
back
well.
On the show.
Thank you.
Good, good. I was wondering if you could give me a minute. I want to lay out a hypothesis here,
please,
and then
do.
You can rip it apart as
oh,
you do
no,
so well.
You know what? A lot of people think I'm just mean sometimes, but you know. Here's what I do want to tell you, Frank, before you go. I want to say this. When you've been around the game as long as I have, and you've been taught by some of the masters of the game, you're going to have some very strong frames of reference and some very basic core philosophies. And in my opinion, if you don't stand by your philosophies and you don't have some conviction, then why do you bother doing it at all? So that's why
I agree.
I'm very opinionated in what I do. And if you don't like it, that's okay. You agree to disagree. Anyway, go ahead.
No, but you didn't give me a chance to finish. I was about to say, which you do so well, and you do so accurately in most cases. So I was actually, I was not criticizing you. I was saying that I enjoy setting these things out so that you can then use your knowledge, which you have a lot more than we do, to rip it apart. So I didn't mean that in a pejorative way at all.
Well, you know what, Frank? I make second everything you have to say. How do you know?
Well, here's my hypothesis. I talked to John briefly last week about it, but and let me go through it if I could. Now, if we plan on moving Pugh inside, then I think it's a no-brainer. Obviously, we need to draft an offensive lineman. But with the signings of Schwartz and Jerry and re-signing Snead, I don't see that being the case. So I'm going to continue my hypothesis that we're not moving him inside. Pugh last year, we invested a first-round pick, obviously, and some seem to say he had one of the best grades of, if not the best grade of last year's first-round O-lineman, and so we can hopefully only hope for better from him. Beatty, we all know the situation there. He's hurt, but there's a ton of money invested in him, and his contract doesn't really allow us to jump out of it in the next year or two. And hopefully, of course, the plan is the Giants didn't re-sign him to all that money, hoping he would stink. So the plan, obviously, is for him to get back to form and to thrive. So let's assume that he does, okay, and that Pugh continues to play well. Nobody gets hurt. Now, we draft we have a first-round pick, number 12, which we rarely do. We're looking for an impact player. Where is this, and this is where, if you just let me finish quickly, where does this offensive lineman that we draft play? He has no place to play. We're not going to draft a guard, obviously, with that first-round pick. We could get one later. So are we going to really use our 12th pick in the draft, which we rarely get, to draft an insurance policy? What I in hope that either Beatty or Pugh stink so this guy can potentially see the field. He's going to sit on the bench, assuming things go well. He's going to get no experience whatsoever. He's going to, what I called him last week, we got Justin Pugh last year, we'd be drafting just in case. We got to hope that things go bad so that just in case our offensive lineman gets on the field. Otherwise, he may never see the field. So we're in a position where we have to either hope that this well-thought-out plan of Pugh and Beatty doesn't work, or if it does, we got a first-round draft pick who's sitting on the bench, and it may not even be next year. What if Pugh and Beatty thrive? Where is this guy going to play? We're going to move him inside. We're going to have a franchise left tackle forced to move inside. We just invested all that money in Schwartz as well, and maybe the guy can't play inside. You know, that's not a given that somebody can do that. So in a perfect world, if we're like Seattle or somebody where we're stocked everywhere, I say, hey, great, we can afford to do that. But I just don't see how that plan works unless we are planning on failure, which we certainly hope that we're not doing. So I'd just like your opinion on that.
Okay, Frank, I'll make it very simple for you. First of all, Pugh's best position is probably right guard. As well as he played at right tackle last year as a rookie, and you're right, I think he was probably as good, if not better, than any other rookie offensive lineman last season in the NFL.
Right. If he's moving, I agree. It's a no-brainer. If he's moving,
he should be a better right guard than a right tackle. So you're not playing him at his best position right now. Now, on top of that, do you really know that Chris Snee is going to make this team and that he's going to start for 16 games this year? Do you know
No.
that?
No.
Okay. That's the problem. Right now, you've got a right guard who, while a five-time Pro Bowl pick and a guy who has been absolutely instrumental to the success of this offensive line over the years, he's trying to come back and milk one more year out of a body that has taken a battering and a bruising. And I respect him to the end of the world for trying to come back this year. But Chris Snee, right now, there may be a chance. There may be a chance. And I hope for the best for him. I mean that. And I know the doctors are saying it looks like he's got a chance to play this year, and it looks pretty good. There may be a chance that, at best, if he's able to play 16 games, he might only be a backup. He might not be able to give you 16 full games as a starter anymore at this stage of his career.
Oh, I agree. I think that's all a given. And if we're gonna move Pugh inside, then I hate the phrase, but it's a no-brainer that
well,
we move him.
Well, that's what I'm trying
inside.
To tell you,
but
Frank.
Wouldn't we be better off using a second or third round pick on a guard? Because if the plan does work, then we got a guy who's got no position and no place to play. It's not like the DL where you can alternate guys in and out.
Yeah, but Frank, here's
not
the problem.
Do that.
Here's the problem there. If you could take a guard, you're right, in the second or third round, but then if you do that, now you're committing to playing Pugh at right tackle. And I think, I'm pretty darn sure that from everything that I'm aware of, the Giants still believe, as do a lot of NFL people, that Pugh could maybe be a Pro Bowl guard. So why take a guard in the second round if you think he's good enough to be, let's say, an 8-year guard out of the box? Because now you've buried Pugh at right tackle where he's not at his best. Why not take a stud right tackle right now, like Zach Martin will be, and move Pugh inside to right guard, where he could be a Pro Bowl guy, where Martin could grow and become an outstanding right tackle in this league? Now you've got two guys playing a position they're capable of playing, maximizing their potential. You got Beattie hopefully at left tackle, like you said, if he's able to bounce back. Now that's three young offensive linemen to go. You think maybe the Bronco guy is going to work out at center, but you're not even sure about that. And that's the other thing, too. The Giants may even need Pugh to move to center, which they believe he's got the skills and intelligence to do. They may need to play him there because they're not 100% sure how the center thing is going to work out.
Right, but I'm just basing everything on the fact that we've heard nothing about Pugh moving inside. If he does, that changes the whole equation.
Well,
but
Frank,
if you knew right now, but if you knew right now, Paul, if they told you under no circumstances we believe Pugh is our long term, he's going to be a Pro Bowl right tackle, he's not moving, then what do you do?
Well, that's
because that's what
story.
I'm assuming. That's exactly.
Frank,
that's what I'm basing this on.
That's a totally different story now. But see, I have no reason to believe that Justin Pugh is going to play right tackle for the next 8 years or 10 years for the Giants. I have no
right, but if he does, if that's the Giants' plan,
I don't
then
think
what do
it
you
is.
Do? That's what I'm basing it.
But that's the and you know what, Frank? Here's the beauty of this: we can play out those scenarios, and you're absolutely right. If Beattie and Pugh are going to be the Giants' right tackles for the next 5, 6, 7 years out of the box or going down the line, then you're absolutely right. Then my entire philosophy about going for an offensive tackle at number 12 is misguided. But I have
then
to tell
you,
Frank,
take, Paul?
Everything that I have heard to this point says to me that Pugh is not going to be the right tackle for the duration of his contract. At some point,
well, I appreciate that because we don't, you know, in all the chat online and everywhere else, this is kind of the first I've heard of that. So let's assume that you're correct in that, which you usually are. What's your pick then, Paul? I'm curious.
Well, I'm a huge Zach Martin guy at number 12 because I know he's going to be there. I don't think he's going to be picked before that. You know, Matthews is going to be gone. You know, Robinson's going to be gone. The Auburn kid and the Ohio State kid, you know they're gone, okay? And
you mean even if it's their intention to keep Pugh there till the end of time, you're still taking an O-lineman?
Oh, no, that's different. I'm sorry, I misunderstood your last question. If the intention is to leave Pugh at right tackle and keep him there till the end of time, well, now that's
uh-huh.
different. Now
what's
that's
your pick
different.
Then?
Now I got to adjust my philosophy a little bit because I'm not so sure what Beattie's health is, and I may now be looking at a guy who's got to be able to play left tackle. So you're going to make an
mm-hmm.
assumption that both Beattie and Pugh are going to be okay for the next 5 or 6 years? And they're going to be rock solid at those spots? That's a leap of faith, if you ask me. I don't know if I could give you both of those.
But with their picks, that, you know, they, obviously that was the plan. And that's when they re-signed him and they drafted Pugh. That was the plan. So you got to
believe. When the Giants drafted Pugh, they drafted Pugh because they wanted him and gave him a legitimate shot because they thought that he had a chance to beat out David Deal at right tackle in 2013 with the anticipation that that was going to be a playoff team. That was, okay, let's put him at right tackle because we need him there. We want to try to see if we can make the playoffs. Like David Deal many years ago, the Giants believe that he can play at a high level at a number of positions on this offensive line, and they're willing to bounce him anywhere that they've got to bounce him, given the year that it is and where they need the player. I don't believe that the Giants have for one moment believed that Justin Pugh is going to be cemented at right tackle. I don't believe that for one second. But if it's true, you're right, it would alter the philosophy a bit. But I still don't believe that. And even if I were to give you that as an assumption or a hypothetical, now you're also asking me to assume that Will Beatty's going to be healthy and play at a high level on the other side for the next several years as well. Now you're really asking me to take a leap of faith. Because,
well, let's assume that Beatty is a question mark. But the Giants say we're playing Pugh at right tackle too, you know, till hell freezes over.
Well, now if I'm going to give you both of those hypotheticals, I think I'm. Yeah, you could probably get that guard out of Stanford in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the first round. You know what I do? I'm trading out. I'm going down. I'm trading out. I'm going to get myself an extra pick, and I'm going to try to trade down a handful of picks and see if I could do something there.
And what player, what position are you looking at?
Oh, boy. Well, now if I trade down a handful of picks, now I'm going to have fewer guys to choose from. That kind of narrows the field just a tad. Oh, boy. You know what? I'd have to think about that a little bit more because in my frame of reference to this point, I have not really been looking at the trade down option all that heavily. But now that you've mentioned this, you know, we have discussed in passing. Maybe I'll give a little more thought to that. I'm going to be back tomorrow morning to do this show again. Okay?
Oh, good.
Let me see if I could do a little more serious thought about trading down and what that scenario might bring. Okay, Frank? Is that fair?
If you do, Paul, I one thing I think you might take into consideration, though, I'm almost sure that if you trade down that that Pittsburgh would jump over all over Ebron. I don't see him. I think he's match made in heaven for Roethlisberger. I don't think he would be there, so I think he might come out of the
equation.
Well,
that's okay, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not drafting Ebron in the first round no matter where I am.
Okay, that's fair.
Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, thanks.
Take care. Appreciate the call. 201-939-4513. I know we're a little bit past 10:30, but we still have a bunch of phone callers here, so I do want to get to these folks. Let's see here. Derek, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Paul.
Hello.
I'm well. I just want, before I go to my question, I just want to continue with the Justin Pugh thing here. everything I've seen in college last year coming out, this guy played left tackle at a level what got him to the first round of the NFL draft. I just can't see moving him to guard and, unproven spot. Considerably, he's probably the best offensive lineman we had last year. And you're asking a rookie to learn another, a guy to move to another position after he had a good season at tackle?
Well, Derek, let me
tell you this.
He's got the smarts to do it. He's no longer a rookie. The Giants believe he's got to add some more power and maturity to his game because that's the one thing that he really lacked last year, playing right tackle. He was not strong enough and physical enough to Tom Coughlin's liking. If you ever had a chance to talk to Coach, he would tell you that. That's where he needs the biggest improvement.
If he gets in the weight room and gets stronger, wouldn't that improve his position at right tackle? Okay, those are some areas where he needs to get stronger, but every rookie needs to get stronger.
No question. Here's the thing. I think that Justin Pugh is a very good long-term NFL tackle in this league. But I know people, not just Giants personnel people, but other people in this league who think he could be an excellent guard in this league. even better at guard than he is at tackle because of his physical attributes and his smarts. And you know, when you combine those two things and his ability to get outside, to be able to pull, and again, don't discount his smarts. He's smart enough to be a center. I know people over the years who have said to me from this league that, you know what, if you can find a really good center, he's worth his weight in gold. Because centers have to be incredibly intelligent, especially in the Giants system. If you're working with Eli Manning, you better be as sharp as a tack. And they really,
but Paul, don't you have to be stronger at guard than you need to be at tackle?
Not always.
Not always.
Not always.
All right. I know he has the feet to do it. I mean, because the guy who's checked is a left tackle. So I know he has the feet to do it. I just don't think that you need to be stronger in that position than run blocking. I see him better as a center. If you know, I could accept more if he moved to center, because I think at that point, you know, you don't see, you don't need to move a guy way out. You know, you need to snap the ball and, you know, pull now and then, but you don't need to be a stud.
You know what? But, you know what, how long have you been watching the Giants?
Since Lawrence Taylor, since the 80-something.
Okay, now,
early.
So you remember guys like William Roberts, who played guard and tackle for this team, guys like Brian Williams, who played center and guard, Derek Riesenberg, who was a guard and a tackle, Luke Pettigrew, who was a guard and a tackle. The Giants have a history, and of course David Deal is the number one example of this. The Giants have a history of guys on the offensive line who played multiple positions. And you know, they didn't always figure it out in their first year of where they were going to be. Sometimes it took them two or three moves to settle in.
Okay, but that's what I think they might do with Mosley. Maybe, you know, give him a chance at guard, you know, to play guard. You brought in Jerry. What's his name? John Jerry?
Yeah, from the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, and I think you might even have one more person behind there at guard from last year.
They've got Herman, they've got Brewer, they've got a bunch of guys there who, you know, they'd like to see earn some snaps.
That's a lot of guards on the team, you know.
Yeah, but based on what I saw last year, Derek, that's the problem. There's a lot of guys there and not a lot of guys who earned the snaps.
I hope if he moves, I just hope he moves his center. But the thing I just saw on the internet that I really called for,
sure,
is I saw something scary. The Giants had 34 sacks last year. At almost three from the bottom of the league, and you let 14 walk out the door?
Horrible.
Where are we going to get sack production at?
Well, you know what the deal is right now, Derek, at least as we sit here today. They're thinking that, okay, JPP, he's got to come back and give him at least a dozen. They're thinking, okay, Mathias Kiwanuka showed flashes in December. Well, hey, he's going to have to give him about 10.
Really believe that?
Look, I'm not telling you I think he's going to do it, but when he came out of Boston College, that's what they were thinking, that he could be a double-digit sack guy. Here's the problem.
Based on what?
He's never done it. He hasn't shown it.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I quite frankly think the Giants need some more pass rush.
I think you need to move down and get Clooney.
No. Here's the guy that's your answer.
The guy, if anything, he's big enough to secure that inside.
Here's your answer. Kareem Martin out of North Carolina in round two.
Kareem Martin. Okay, I got to look him up. How big is he?
6'6", 270.
All right, yeah. Well, that's good. Can he move?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that sounds like a good option for us.
And he gets off.
But I'm looking at the sack production. It looked pitiful. And I'm like, oh, geez.
Hey, I'm with you, man. They need more pass rush, okay? There's no question they need more pass rush.
And if you look at the trend when we went to the Super Bowls, I think we were almost at the top of the league in sacks.
No question. Look, it's a leap of faith to think that DeMontre Moore, JPP, and Mathias Kiwanuka will combine for 35 sacks. That is a leap of faith. That's what they need. Out of those three guys alone, they got to get at least 35. And that is taking a bit of a risk. Because what have those three guys shown you? Moore has shown you that, you know, he needs to mature, needs to grow up, and needs to grow into his position, and needs to understand the finer points of being a professional. But he's got great talent. Is he capable of double digits? Physically, there's no doubt in my mind. But they need that now. They can't wait for him to grow into it. They need it now in year two. And they need JPP to come back and give him at least a dozen to 15. They got to get that. They got to get that.
Tell me you've seen him walking around the locker room. Has he put on any weight?
No,
DeMontre Moore?
Right now, the guys are not around. So, no, I have not seen him.
Okay.
I would hope to see him in OTAs, you know, in minicamp. But DeMontre Moore really, really needs to give this Giants team a lot of production in year two because he's got immense talent. It's time he gets to using it.
All right, Paul. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you,
Derek. Talk to you tomorrow.
Appreciate your call. Bye-bye. All right, let's go to line number three, and Emilio from Staten Island, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Taking my call.
Sure.
I also go back to those teams that like you. We have to, first of all, Will Beatty is not a left tackle. They paid him like a left tackle, but, I mean, you're around the team. You see his play. Do you think he resembles a left tackle in this league?
Emilio, you know it's funny. My gauge on Will Beatty looks like a roller coaster. When he came into this league, I didn't think he had enough fight, didn't think he had enough physicality. I saw him as a finesse left tackle, which some teams like. I don't particularly gravitate toward that philosophy. But here's the thing. I have to admit, 2 years ago, Will Beatty gave up 3 sacks. And played a very sound left tackle. He was good in pass protection, not so great run blocking, but was clearly good enough in pass protection to give Eli Manning a chance to win 10 games. And the Giants gave him a huge contract off of that season. Now, do I think they gave him a little too much? Absolutely. Do I think that maybe they overvalued what he did? You could certainly make that argument, because last year he was dreadful.
Look, 2 years ago, wasn't our offensive line as a whole better?
Yes, no question.
So didn't that mask for some of his inefficiencies?
Well, and that's why I keep telling people this is an offensive line being rebuilt in progress. They got to get the entire offensive line has to improve, and then each individual part will seem to be better. You know, Emilio, let me ask you this. Let me just make it simple for you. Because I understand your doubts about Beatty. I have my problems with him, too. But if I said to you that he's going to be healthy and give up 3 sacks in 2014, would you take it?
Oh, absolutely. Who wouldn't?
And I think that's what the Giants have to hope for right now. Because the truth is, they've got so much money invested in him. Where are they going to put him?
We don't have a choice. I mean, obviously, from that contract he's signed, we're handcuffed with him.
You got it.
But we have to, the two things we have to do, especially now that I think the pass rushers will get a little bit more time with what we did behind them. The linebackers are better, definitely, and the defensive backs absolutely are better.
Yes.
But we have to get a pass rush, have to, and we have to get a left tackle. Even if you groom the kid for a year or two down the road when we can get rid of that contract, I'm telling you now, this guy is not a left tackle. We're going to regret that contract.
I think that you could look at the Giants right now and probably find them shaking their heads. I mean, Will Beatty gave up a double digits in sacks last year, and now he's coming off of an injury. Who would be happy with that contract?
But even the way he did it. He looked so overmatched.
Yeah.
He looked lost.
He to me, it was about 5 steps back from the previous season. It was terrible.
I would see pass rushers during the game. They looked like they were laughing.
Well, Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something, man. You're on board with me taking a first-round offensive lineman?
I want 1,000%.
Well, then we agree. I mean,
whether we're
happy or satisfied with the...
Let me ask you one question about that.
They still got to get a lineman.
Let me ask you a question about that. All right, everybody's talking about the offenses, but at our best, we kept the opposite offenses on the sideline because we ran the ball down their throat. Now, if we do 7-8 minute drives and we keep doing those drives, the other offense, first of all, our defense gets to rest. Number one, you're going to come back on the field fresh and able to go right at them hard. And two, we keep the other offense on the sideline. I mean, am I right or am I wrong, am I thinking?
You don't have to convince me. I'm old school, man.
You know, listen, if you could play some decent defense and you could pound the ball down their throat every single week, you're going to be in that game to win it.
You know what the problem
and
is, you know what the problem is?
Yeah.
Too many young people who are so excited by the Xbox generation. All they want to do is fire the football, score 40 points, fling it around the yard. That's the problem. It's the video game generation that gets people away from thinking how you and I think.
If I could win 21-17 every week, at the end of the week, that's still, you know, a number one in the W column. I don't care how I win. If I won 21-17 every game and I went 14-2, am I going to care?
Well, let me ask you this. The Giants' last two Super Bowl wins over the Patriots, did they have to score 30 points to do it?
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
Absolutely not. And that's where these people don't realize it. You got to play a good, stout defense, and you got to run the ball.
Emilio, I appreciate the call, man.
Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye now. 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We're running out of time, but we do have a couple of more callers to get to. So, JD, you are next on the program. Hello.
Hey, sir. How you been?
I'm well. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Long time. No here for my apologize for taking
That's
so long
not
getting
a
the call.
We got one more call after you, so please go ahead.
Hey, okay, real quick. I do want to say that when it comes to the offensive line, I would like to see Brandon Mosley get a little bit of burn. I would like to see him get out there. When it comes to this upcoming draft, I would love for them to either get the receiver from Florida State.
Benjamin.
Or either for him or even Mike Evans. I prefer Mike Evans. You know, I'm going to say
prefer
Ebron.
Evans, too. Evans is really good.
Exactly. And the one thing about it is they talk about Ebron this and Ebron that. And I'm like this. I feel the same way. Ebron is awesome. But I guess this is my view. There are too many talented tight ends that are still out there in free agency. You see what I'm saying? They still have Owen Daniels out there. Yeah, they still have Jamarco Finley out there. And there's still a couple of other ones out there also that are, I mean, these are actually marquee players for their teams at one time. And then for the second round, I do the defensive end that you mentioned from North Carolina. I would love to see him on the Giants. Really, exactly. That would be a perfect 1-2. But the one thing about it, I would hate to see the Giants. I mean, not going to say it wouldn't be a waste, because any person that you get at a 12th pick, whether it be offense, defense, offensive line, defense, secondary, you're going to get a quality person. You see what I'm saying?
Well,
but
no,
I would not.
At 12, you should be able to get a guy who's got a whole heap of talent. And quite frankly, if JD, if you believe, as I do, that this game is won in the trenches, well, you know what? If for some reason the Giants really believe that their offensive line is set and they don't have to make a pick there, or that they can get a guy in round two, if they really, really believe that and they want to take a shot at Donald, you know what?
Yeah.
That's okay with me, because at least they're in the trenches. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. But I'm going to tell you, this is the X factor for all these teams, because of course you see all these free agencies and new players and new places, new faces and everything. Is what's going to be the chemistry? Are they going to be able to grasp playbooks? Are they going to be able to form some kind of, you know what I'm saying, continuity? Because, mm-hmm. See, what it is, I think Victor Cruz said, he said, you know, it's like starting spring training all over again, because
right. You're
getting a whole new playbook. You're learning new people, learning new systems. Now, that's nice that you have all the weapons and all these teams are getting all these weapons. And, yeah, that's all fine and dandy. But the one thing about it is you made your money from that team being in that system. Are you going to be able to make the same money in a new system? That's my question for this season.
Well, you know what, JD? I want to talk to you just for one second before I let you go. You talk about the playbook, and that's one of the problems you had with Brandon Mosley, who lost his rookie season to an injury. And then last year, if you watched him during the exhibition season, he did not do very well. He had a lot of playbook issues. And quite frankly, he's got the physicality and the boxcar kind of build that I like in an offensive lineman. I think
right. The
Giants would be just thrilled. And when they drafted him, they said, look, he's got the body and the tools. He's going to be a project. Well, here's the problem. Projects who don't mature in every way, shape, and form, and I'm talking about knowledge of the playbook and end your play on the field, they become busts, so to speak. Now, the good news is they didn't use a high draft pick on him. But I'll tell you what, Brandon Mosley did not exactly inspire confidence in me, and I don't think he did in you when you saw him during the exhibition season last year. He just made too many mistakes and didn't know what he was doing.
Very true. But, I mean, at the same time, James Brewer got on the field also, and you don't understand how many replays I've watched, and just watching him miss block, miss this, miss that.
Hey, JD, doesn't that scare you, though? Because James Brewer physically was not getting it done on the field. He was not producing. Don't you think that if the Giants thought that Mosley or Herman had a grasp of the playbook and they could do better, that they would have either activated Herman or they would have gotten Mosley on the field? See, that's
but that's what they did
part.
With Reynolds.
Well,
but then
you know what? Reynolds was busy trying to help him out at center because they had center injury issues.
Yeah.
And that's see, that's what I think fans need to understand when I keep preaching about rebuilding this offensive line and getting another stud in there. What they need to understand is when you look at these backups, are these backups proven enough to you that you can count on them for snaps if you need them? God forbid you need them to start. I mean,
true.
If James Brewer was getting regular reps on the field last season and did not produce at a level that you believe the Giants need to win, why would you not want to upgrade your offensive line?
That's what the free agency is for. Because the funny thing about it is that there are still, you know what, the funny thing about it is that in all the positions, there are still quality people out there. But like I was saying, I would love for them to really, I'm hoping that they're not done with free agency. I'm hoping that they, after the draft and everything like that, then they look into free agency because, like I said, there are still a lot of quality people out there. But at the same time, I want, as far as the draft goes, I would love for them to get some weapons for Eli because right now we don't have a number one receiver. We have a number two, and we have a number three, and we have a number four. But that's just me. Sir, as always, thank you very much for the energy. Thank you for the show. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, JD. Thank you so much.
Pleasure talking with you, man. Have a good one.
All right, you too now. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. We got a couple of more minutes to go before we wrap things up. And so our last call, I believe, is Muhammad. Hello, Muhammad. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. How are you?
Yes, sir. Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm well, sir.
Yes, I had two topics to address. I want to address the defensive line. We don't have any sack production, and hopefully I wanted to know what you thought about them going after someone like Anthony Spencer out of Dallas in free agency.
The Giants had him in. And at least according to reports, he was here for a visit or an interview. I don't know if he actually got to the physical or not. There were reports that Spencer had visited. And here's the thing. I haven't read about him going anywhere else. And I haven't read anything about his medical issues other than he had that microfracture surgery. And so that kind of leads me to believe that he's not physically ready to compete yet. Otherwise, somebody would have brought him in and at least tried to negotiate some kind of numbers with him, don't you think?
Yes, because he's definitely experienced, and he would have been a great fit if he was healthy.
There must be something up there because you're not hearing a word about him around the league.
Right. And with Owen Daniels, bringing someone in like him, he would be a great addition to help on the offensive line as well as training up any drafted tight end that we may have or what we have now on the books.
Well, here's your problem with Owen Daniels. He's a veteran who clearly wants more money right now than what the market is willing to throw out there. And what happens is, and here's the gamesmanship you got to play, Muhammad. I hate to say it, but this is what happens a lot of times, okay? Daniels being cut by the Texans, okay, saved the Texans $4.5 million off of their cap. This is a guy who's made some coin. Now, he goes out there and he's like, okay, look what I've proven in this league. I deserve to be paid. You know, and that's great. But now he's sitting out there. The draft is still to come. The back end of free agency is still to come. The June 1st cuts are still to come. And as Jerry Reese likes to say, there are usually some bargain basement guys available on the back end of free agency. Well,
that's
if
right.
Owen Daniels' price comes down to earth and he starts realizing that he could go into the summer without a training camp to go to, well, then maybe those numbers become a little more palatable for the Giants. But right now, my suspicion, and I don't know this for a fact, my suspicion is the ballpark numbers that he's thinking about aren't very appetizing because you don't hear him going on any visits anywhere, do you?
No, sir.
And he's not hurt. I don't believe he's got an injury problem. Spencer, I think, is an injury issue. I think Owen Daniels is simply a guy who wants a little bit more money than what teams are willing to throw at him right now. And they're saying, hey, we got a draft. We got June 1st cuts. We got the back end of free agency. You know what? We're not interested in shopping for your Mercedes-Benz right now. We'll just go sit tight, and when we need that Ford or that Hyundai, we'll go shopping.
I would definitely like to say one more thing, that Jerry Reese did an excellent job in free agency this year. It's the best that I've seen in about 35, 40 years. And hopefully that we can have a great draft, because if history repeats itself in 2008, we had the similar situation, bringing a new offensive coordinator and new defensive coordinator, and we won a Super Bowl right after Peyton Manning played in 2007. And after Peyton Manning played against New Orleans, we came in with a new defensive coordinator and a good offseason draft, and we won another Super Bowl. So hopefully history repeat itself again. We had a great free agency. We had Peyton Manning play in the Super Bowl, and we have good additions to the team. So hopefully we'll repeat history again. We still got Eli Manning, and that's a great thing.
Muhammad, I do want to give you one caveat. Again, go back to Owen Daniels, because he had that leg injury earlier in the year that I had forgotten about. And I just want to look up his stats right now to give you an indication as to like what his number might be, what his price might be. And when I noticed that he had the early season leg injury, which I forgot. Bottom line is, yes, he does have a proven track record. He did prove that he was healthy at the tail end of last season. He's probably a guy, if you look at the veteran tight ends in this league, they're looking for a minimum, if not, what, $2.5, $3 million a year? I don't think the Giants or a lot of teams right now want to throw that kind of money at him.
And they won't. They won't right now. Like you said, Jerry Rice will wait to try to – he'll wait him out on the back end and see how, you know, determined he is to play with a willing team, a winning team with strong pedigree of championship. And he can definitely get that at the Giants.
Muhammad, thank you so much for the phone call.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Be well. Well, folks, that'll do it for today's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We took you all the way to 11 o'clock. The phone lines were just burning up all day long. We'll be back here again tomorrow. John Schmelk is having jury duty issues. And so we will take your calls again at 9:30 a.m. right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Write it down. Hashtag Giants Chat. I think I'll probably take a look at some of those Twitter remarks during the course of the afternoon. It's miserable out here in New Jersey. And so I don't think I'm going to be doing any Nike 5s anytime this afternoon. This is Paul Dottino. So long, everybody.